Cecily, Cecily, I think that watering flowers is a servant's occupation rather than yours, especially at a moment when the pleasures of education are waiting for you. Your German grammar book is on the table. Please open it at page 15. We will do yesterday's lesson again. But I don't like German. It isn't a very pretty language. I know that I look quite ugly after my German lesson. Child, your guardian is anxious that you improve yourself in every way. As he was leaving for town yesterday, he reminded me how important your German is. Indeed, he always reminds me how important your German is when he is leaving for town.
Dear Uncle Jack is so very serious. Sometimes he's so serious that I think he must be ill.
Your guardian's health is excellent, and his seriousness, indeed his earnestness, is very admirable in such a young man. I do not know anyone else who has such a good sense of duty and responsibility.
I suppose that is why he often seems a little bored when we three are together.
Cecily, I am surprised at you. Mr. Worthing has many troubles in his life. You must remember that he is always worried about that unfortunate young man, his brother, Ernest.
I wish Uncle Jack would allow that unfortunate young man, his brother, Ernest, to come here sometimes. We might have a good influence on him, Miss Prism. I am sure that you would. You know German and geology and all kinds of things that influence a man very much.
I do not think that even I could have a good influence on his character. Mr. Worthing himself says that his brother's character is weak and indecisive. Indeed, I wouldn't want to have a good influence on him. I do not approve of this modern desire to turn bad people into good people at a moment's notice. I think he should suffer because of his misbehaviour. You must put away your diary, Cicely. I really don't understand why you keep a diary at all.
I keep a diary in order to write down the wonderful secrets of my life. If I didn't write them down, I should probably forget all about them.
Our memory is the diary that we all have with us.
Yes, but our memory usually remembers things that have never happened and couldn't possibly have happened. I believe that memory is responsible for all the three-volume novels people write.
Do not be dismissive of the three-volume novels, Cicely. I wrote one myself a long time ago.
Did you really, Miss Prism? How wonderfully clever you are. I hope it did not end happily. I don't like novels that end happily. They depress me so much.
The good people ended happily. The bad people ended unhappily. That is fiction.
I suppose so, but it seems very unfair. And was your novel ever published?
I'm sad to say it was not. The manuscript, unfortunately, was lost. Now start work, child. There is no point in thinking about these things.
But I see dear Canon Chasuble coming towards us through the garden.
Canon Chasuble, it is indeed a pleasure to see you.
And how are we today? Miss Prism, you are, I hope, well?
Miss Prism has just been complaining of a slight headache. I think it would do her good to have a short walk with you in the park, Canon Chasuble.
Cicely, I have not mentioned anything about a headache.
No, dear Miss Prism, I know that, but I felt that you had a headache. Indeed, I was thinking about that, and not about my German lesson, when Canon Chasuble arrived.
I hope, Cicely, that you pay attention to your lessons.
Oh, I'm afraid I do not.
That is strange. If I were Miss Prism's pupil, I would always pay attention. Has Mr. Worthing returned from town yet?
We expect him on Monday afternoon.
Ah, yes. He usually likes to spend his Sundays in London. He is an earnest young man who does not always look for pleasure, as I believe his younger brother does. I will see you both at church later, shall I?
I think, dear Canon, I will have a walk with you. I find I have a headache after all, and a walk might do it good.
It would be a pleasure, Miss Prism, a pleasure. Let us go to the end of the garden and back.
That would be delightful. Cicely, you will read your political economy in my absence.
Oh, horrid political economy. Horrid German.
Mr. Ernest Worthing has just arrived from the station. He has brought his luggage with him.
Mr. Ernest Worthing, B4, the Albany, London.
He must be Uncle Jack's brother. Have you told him Uncle Jack is in town?
Yes, miss. He seemed very disappointed. I told him that you and Miss Prism were in the garden. He said he was anxious to speak to you privately for a moment.
Ask Mr. Ernest Worthing to come here, and you had better talk to the housekeeper about a bedroom for him.
Yes, miss.
I have never met a really wicked person before. I feel rather frightened. I'm so afraid that he will look just like everyone else. Oh, dear, he does.
You are my little cousin Cicely, I'm sure.
You're making a strange mistake. I am not little. In fact, I believe I'm quite tall for my age.
Oh.
But I am your cousin Cicely. You, I see from your card, are Uncle Jack's brother, my cousin Ernest. My wicked cousin Ernest.
No, I am not really wicked at all, cousin Cicely. You mustn't think that I am wicked.
If you are not wicked, then I think you have been deceiving us all. I hope that you have not been leading a double life. I hope you have not been pretending to be wicked and being really good all the time. That would be hypocrisy.
Oh, of course. I have been rather bad.
I'm glad to hear it.
In fact, I think that I have been very wicked in my own way.
I don't think you should be so proud of that. Though I'm sure it must have been very pleasant.
It is much pleasanter being here with you.
I can't understand why you're here at all. Uncle Jack won't be back from town till Monday afternoon.
That is a great disappointment to me. I have to leave for London by the first train on Monday morning. I have a business meeting that I am anxious to miss.
Couldn't you miss it anywhere but in London?
No. The appointment is in London.
Well, of course, I know that it is important not to attend a business meeting. That is what makes life interesting. But I think you should wait till Uncle Jack arrives. I know he wants to speak to you about your emigration.
He wants to speak to me about... I don't understand.
About your emigration. He has gone to town to buy your clothes.
I certainly wouldn't let Jack buy my clothes. He has no taste in ties at all.
I don't think you will require ties. Uncle Jack is sending you to Australia.
Australia? I'd rather die.
Well, at dinner on Wednesday, he said that you would have to choose between this world, the next world, and Australia.
Oh, well, I don't believe Australia and the next world are very nice. This world is good enough for me, Cousin Cicely.
Uh-huh. But are you good enough for it?
I'm afraid I'm not. That is why I want you to reform me. Please, will you do this, Cousin Cicely?
I'm afraid I don't have time this afternoon.
Well, would you mind if I reformed myself this afternoon?
It is rather ambitious of you, but I think you should try.
I will. I feel better already.
You are looking a little worse.
That is because I am hungry.
How thoughtless of me. I should have remembered that someone who is going to reform himself needs regular meals. Please, come in.
Thank you. May I have a flower for my buttonhole first? I never have any appetite unless I have a flower for my buttonhole. I'd like a pink rose.
Why?
Because you are like a pink rose, Cousin Cicely.
I don't think that it is right for you to talk to me like that. Miss Prism doesn't say such things to me.
Miss Prism must be a very short-sighted old lady. You are the prettiest girl I have ever seen.
Miss Prism says that good looks are a trap.
They are a trap that every sensible man would like to be caught in.
Oh, I don't think I would like to catch a sensible man. I wouldn't know what to talk to him about. You are on your own too much, Canon Chasuble. You should get married.
No, the early church was very much against marriage.
That is obviously the reason why the early church has not lasted to the present day. And you do not seem to realise, dear sir, that a man who remains single becomes a permanent temptation.
But isn't a man equally attractive when he is married?
No married man is ever attractive, except to his wife.
And often, I've been told, he is not even attractive to her.
That depends on the woman. If she is a mature woman, she can be relied upon. You cannot rely upon a young woman. But where is Cicely?
Perhaps she followed us.
Mr. Worthing!
Mr. Worthing!
This is a surprise. We did not expect you till Monday afternoon.
I have returned sooner than I expected to. Canon Chasuble, I hope you are well.
Dear Mr. Worthing, I hope these black clothes do not mean that something dreadful has happened.
My brother.
More shameful debts and bad behaviour.
Is he still leading his wicked life?
Dead.
Your brother, Ernest, is dead?
Quite dead.
What a lesson for him. I hope he will learn from this.
Mr. Worthing, I offer you my sincere condolences. At least you know that you have always been most generous and forgiving to him.
Poor Ernest. He had many faults, but it is very, very sad.
Very sad indeed. Were you with him at the end?
No. He died abroad. In Paris, in fact. I had a telegram last night from the manager of the Grand Hotel in Paris.
Did the telegram mention the cause of death?
A bad cold, it seems.
As a man sows, so shall he reap.
Charity, dear Miss Prism, charity. None of us are perfect. I myself am particularly sensitive to drafts. Will the funeral take place here?
No. It seems he wanted to be buried in Paris.
In Paris? I don't think he was being very serious, even at the end. You will want me to mention this sad event in church next Sunday. My sermon on the mercy of God can be used on any occasion, happy or sad. I have preached it at baptisms, weddings, and funerals. The last time I preached it was to the Society for the Prevention of Discontent among the Upper Classes. The bishop, who was present, liked it very much.
Ah, that reminds me. You mentioned baptisms, I think, Canon Chasuble. You know how to baptize people, I suppose? I mean, you often baptize people, don't you?
It is, I am sorry to say, one of the canon's most frequent duties. I have often spoken to the poorer classes about it, but they don't take any notice.
But is there any particular child in whom you are interested, Mr. Worthing? Your brother was, I believe, unmarried.
Oh, yes.
People who live just for pleasure are usually unmarried.
But it is not for any child, dear Canon. No. The fact is that I would like to be baptized myself this afternoon, if you have nothing better to do.
But surely, Mr. Worthing, you have been baptized already.
I don't remember anything about it. Of course, I don't know if you think I'm a little too old now.
Not at all. At what time would you like the ceremony performed?
Oh, I'll come about 5 o'clock, if that would suit you.
Perfectly, perfectly. In fact, I have 2 similar ceremonies to perform at that time. Twins who were born in one of the cottages on your estate.
Oh, I don't think it would be much fun to be baptized along with other babies. It would be childish. Would 5:30 be all right?
Of course, of course. And now, dear Mr. Worthing, I will not stay any longer in this house of grief. I ask you not to grieve too much. Bitter trials are often blessings in disguise.
This seems to me to be an extremely obvious blessing.
Uncle Jack! Oh, I am pleased to see you! But what horrible clothes you are wearing! Please go and change them. Cicely.
My child, my child.
What is the matter, Uncle Jack? Please look happy. You look as if you have toothache. And I have got such a surprise for you. Who do you think is in the dining room? Your brother!
Who?
Your brother, Ernest. He arrived about 30 minutes ago.
What nonsense. I haven't got a brother.
Oh, don't say that. He is still your brother, even though he has behaved badly in the past. You mustn't be so heartless. I'll tell him to come out. And you will shake hands with him, won't you, Uncle Jack?
This is very happy news.
Since we were just getting used to his departure, his sudden return seems very distressing.
My brother is in the dining room? I don't know what it means. I think it is perfectly ridiculous. Good heavens!
Brother Jack, I have come from town to tell you that I am very sorry for all the trouble I have given you and that I will behave myself better in future.
Uncle Jack, are you going to refuse to shake your brother's hand?
Nothing will make me shake his hand. I think it is disgraceful that he has come here. He knows perfectly well why.
Uncle Jack, do be nice. There is some good in everyone. Ernest has just been telling me about his poor invalid friend, Mr. Bunbury, whom he goes to visit very often. There must be much good in Ernest if he leaves London to sit by the bed of an invalid.
Oh! He has been talking about Bunbury, has he?
Yes. He has told me all about poor Mr. Bunbury and his very bad health.
Bunbury? Well, I don't want him to talk to you about Bunbury or about anything else. It makes me furious.
Of course, I agree that I used to behave very badly, but I must say that I think Brother Jack's coldness towards me is very unkind. I expected a better welcome, especially since it is the first time I have come here.
Uncle Jack, if you don't shake hands with Ernest, I will never forgive you.
You will never forgive me?
Never, never, never.
Well, this is the last time I shall ever do it.
Oh, it is a pleasant to see a perfect reconciliation, is it not? I think we should leave the brothers together.
Cicely, you will come with us.
Certainly, Miss Prism. My task of reconciliation is over.
You have done something beautiful today, dear child.
We must not say these things too soon.
I feel very happy.
Thank you. Act 2.
You young scoundrel, Algy. You must get out of this place as soon as possible. I don't allow any Bunburying here.
I have put Mr. Ernest's things in the room next to yours, sir.
What?
Mr. Ernest's luggage, sir. I have unpacked it and put it in the room next to your own.
His luggage?
Yes, sir. 3 large suitcases, a small suitcase, 2 hat boxes, and a large picnic basket.
I'm afraid I can only stay for a week this time.
Merriman, order the carriage at once. Mr. Ernest has suddenly been called back to town.
Yes, sir.
What a liar you are, Jack. I have not been called back to town at all.
Yes, you have.
I haven't heard anyone call me.
Your duty as a gentleman calls you back.
My duty as a gentleman has never interfered with my pleasure at all.
Yes, I quite understand that.
Well, Cicely is a darling.
You are not to talk on Miss Cardew like that. I don't like it.
Well, I don't like your clothes. You look perfectly ridiculous in them. Why don't you go upstairs and change? It is perfectly childish to be wearing black clothes for a man who is going to stay in your house for a whole week as a guest.
You are certainly not staying with me for a whole week. You have got to leave by the 4 o'clock train.
I certainly won't leave you while you are in black clothes. That would be very unfriendly.
Well, will you go if I change my clothes?
Yes, if you are not too long. I never saw anybody else who took so long to get dressed and with such uninteresting results.
Well, at least that is better than always being overdressed like you.
If I am occasionally overdressed, I make up for it by being extremely overeducated.
Your vanity is silly. Your behaviour is outrageous, and your presence in my garden is ridiculous. However, you have got to catch the 4 o'clock train, and I hope you will have a pleasant journey back to town. This Bunburying has not been a success for you.
I think it has been a great success. I'm in love with Cicely, and that is wonderful. But I must see her before I go and make arrangements for some more Bunburying. Ah, there she is.
Oh, I came back to water the roses. I thought you were with Uncle Jack.
He's gone to order the carriage for me.
Oh, is he going to take you for a nice drive?
He's going to send me away.
Then we have to part.
I'm afraid so. It's a very painful parting.
It is always painful to part with new friends. It is easy to bear the absence of old friends, but even a short parting from someone whom one has just met is extremely painful.
Thank you.
The carriage is at the door, sir.
It can wait, Merriman, for 5 minutes.
Yes, miss.
I hope, Cicely, I shall not offend you if I tell you that you seem to me to be perfect in every way.
I think that it is very good that you are so honest. If you will allow me, I will copy your words into my diary.
Do you really keep a diary? I'd love to look at it. May I look at it?
Oh, no. You see, it is just a young girl's record of her thoughts and impressions. And of course, it is going to be published. When it appears in the form of a book, I hope you will buy a copy. But please don't stop, Ernest. I enjoy writing things down from dictation. I have got to perfect in every way. You can go on. I am quite ready to write down more. Oh, don't cough, Ernest. When one is dictating, one should speak clearly and not cough. Besides, I can't spell a cough.
Cicely, ever since I first looked at your wonderful beauty, I have loved you wildly, passionately, devotedly, hopelessly.
I don't think you should tell me you love me wildly, passionately, devotedly, hopelessly. Hopelessly doesn't make much sense, does it?
Cicely.
The carriage is waiting at the door, sir.
Tell it to come to the door next week at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Uncle Jack would be very annoyed if he knew you were staying till next week at the same time.
Oh, I don't care about Jack. I don't care about anybody in the whole world except you. I love you, Cicely. You will marry me, won't you?
You silly boy, of course. We have been engaged for the last 3 months.
For the last 3 months?
Yes. It will have been 3 months on Thursday.
But how did we become engaged?
Well, ever since Uncle Jack told us he had a very wicked younger brother, you, of course, have been the main topic of conversation between myself and Miss Prism. And a man who is talked about all the time is very attractive. And I fell in love with you, which is probably a bit silly of me.
Darling. And when did we become engaged?
On the 14th of February. I was unhappy that you didn't know I existed, so I made up my mind to decide the matter one way or the other. After thinking about it for a long time, I decided to accept your proposal of marriage. I decided that we were engaged, and so the next day I bought this little ring for you to give me, and I promised you that I would always wear it.
Did I give you this? It's very pretty, isn't it?
Yes. You've got wonderfully good taste, Ernest. It's the excuse I've given you for leading such a bad life. And this is the box in which I keep all your dear letters.
My letters? But my own sweet Cicely, I have never written you any letters.
You needn't remind me, Ernest. I remember very well that I had to write your letters for you. I always wrote 3 times a week, and sometimes more often.
Oh, do let me read them, Cicely.
Oh, I couldn't possibly let you do that. They would make you far too conceited. The 3 that you wrote me after I had broken off the engagement are so beautiful and so badly spelt that even now they make me cry a little when I read them.
But was our engagement ever broken off?
Of course it was. On the 22nd of March. You can see the diary entry if you like. Today, I broke off my engagement with Ernest. I feel it is better to do so. The weather continues to be very pleasant.
But why on earth did you break it off? What had I done? I had done nothing at all. Cicely, I am very hurt indeed to hear that you broke it off. Particularly when the weather was so pleasant.
It wouldn't have been a very serious engagement if it hadn't been broken off at least once. But I forgave you before the end of the week.
Oh, what a perfect angel you are, Cicely.
You dear romantic boy.
Do you promise that you'll never break off our engagement again, Cicely?
I don't think I could break it off now that I have actually met you. Besides, of course, there is your name.
Yes, of course.
You must not laugh at me, darling, but it had always been a dream of mine to love someone called Ernest. There is something about that name which inspires confidence. I pity any poor married woman whose husband is not called Ernest.
But, my dear child, couldn't you love me if I had another name?
But what name?
Oh, any name you like. Algernon, for instance.
But I don't like the name Algernon.
Well, my own dear, sweet, loving little darling, I can't see why you don't like the name Algernon. It is not a bad name. In fact, it is rather an aristocratic name. Half the fellows who get into the bankruptcy court are called Algernon. But seriously, Cicely, if my name was Algy, couldn't you love me?
I might respect you, Ernest. I might admire your character. But I would not really want to spend very much time with you.
Cicely... The clergyman here is, I suppose, a very experienced man?
Oh, yes. Canon Chasuble is a very learned man. He has never written a single book, so you can imagine how much he knows.
I must see him at once about an important baptism. I mean, on important business.
Oh?
I shan't be away for more than half an hour.
We have been engaged since the 14th of February, and I only met you today for the first time, so I think it is rather hard that you should leave me for as long as half an hour. Couldn't you make it 20 minutes?
I'll be back in no time.
What an impetuous boy he is. I must write about his proposal in my diary.
Hey, Miss Fairfax has just called to see Mr. Worthing. She says it is on very important business.
Isn't Mr. Worthing in his library?
Mr. Worthing went to Canon Jazebo's house some time ago.
Please ask the lady to come out into the garden and join me. Mr. Worthing is sure to be back soon. And you can bring tea.
Yes, miss.
Miss Fairfax. I suppose she is one of the many good women who help Uncle Jack with his charitable work in London. I don't really like women who are interested in charitable work. I think it is so presumptuous of them.
Miss Fairfax.
Let me introduce myself to you. My name is Cicely Cardew.
Cicely Cardew? What a very sweet name. I think we are going to be great friends. I like you already more than I can say. My first impressions of people are never wrong.
How nice of you to like me so much when we have known each other for such a short time. Please, sit down.
I may call you Cicely, may I not?
Of course, with pleasure.
And you will always call me Gwendolyn, won't you?
If you wish.
Then that is all quite settled, is it not?
I hope so.
Perhaps this is a good opportunity to tell you who I am. My father is Lord Bracknell. You have never heard of Papa, I suppose?
I don't think so.
Outside the family circle, Papa, I am glad to say, is completely unknown. I think that is quite right. The home seems to me to be the proper place for a man. Certainly, once a man begins to neglect his duties at home, it makes him very attractive. Cicely, Mama, whose views on education are very strict, has brought me up to be extremely short-sighted. It is part of her system. So do you mind me looking at you through my glasses?
Oh, not at all, Gwendolyn. I like being looked at.
You are here on a short visit, I suppose?
Oh, no. I live here.
Really? Your mother, or an elderly female relation, lives here also?
Oh, no. I have no mother, nor, in fact, any relations.
Indeed.
My dear guardian, with the help of Miss Prism, has the difficult task of looking after me.
Your guardian?
Yes. I am Mr. Worthing's ward.
Oh, it is strange that he never mentioned to me that he had a ward. How secretive of him. He is becoming more interesting every hour. However, I am not sure that I am delighted by this news. I have liked you ever since I met you, Cicely. But now that I know you are Mr. Worthing's ward, I must say that I wish you were, well, a bit older than you seem to be, and not quite so pretty. In fact, if I may speak candidly...
Please do. I think that when one has anything unpleasant to say, one should always be quite candid.
Well, to be quite candid, Cicely, I wish that you were at least 42 years old and extremely plain. Ernest has an honourable, truthful nature. He would never be deceitful. But the most honourable men can be influenced by the beauty of others. Modern history, and indeed ancient history, give us many painful examples of what I refer to. Indeed, history would be quite unreadable if it were not so.
I beg your pardon, Gwendolyn. Did you say Ernest?
Yes.
Oh, but it is not Mr. Ernest Worthing who is my guardian. It is his brother, his elder brother.
Ernest never mentioned to me that he had a brother.
I am sorry to say that they have not got on well with each other for a long time.
Ah, I see. And now I think about it, I have never heard any man mention his brother. Most men don't seem to like the subject. Cicely, you have lifted a weight from my mind. I was becoming almost anxious. It would have been awful if any cloud had come across such a special friendship, would it not? Are you quite sure that it is not Mr. Ernest Worthing who is your guardian?
Quite sure. In fact, I am going to be his guardian.
I beg your pardon?
Dearest Gwendolyn, there is no reason why I should keep it a secret from you. It will be in the local newspaper next week. Mr. Ernest Worthing and I are engaged to be married.
My darling Cicely, I think that there must be some small mistake. Mr. Ernest Worthing is engaged to me. The announcement will appear in the newspapers on Saturday at the latest.
I am afraid that you are mistaken. Ernest proposed to me exactly 10 minutes ago.
It is very strange, because he asked me to be his wife yesterday afternoon at 5:30. Please check for yourself. I never travel without my diary. One should always have something exciting to read on the train. I am so sorry, dear Cicely, if it is any disappointment to you, but I am afraid that I was his first choice.
It would make me very sad, dear Gwendolyn, to cause you any pain. But I feel I must point out that since Ernest proposed to you, he has clearly changed his mind.
If the poor fellow has been trapped into making a foolish promise, it is my duty to rescue him at once, and firmly.
If my dear boy has got into an unfortunate entanglement, I will never reproach him for it when we are married.
Are you calling me an entanglement, Miss Cardew? You are presumptuous. On an occasion of this kind, it becomes more than a duty to speak one's mind. It becomes a pleasure.
Do you suggest, Miss Fairfax, that I trapped Ernest into an engagement? How dare you? This is no time to pretend to have good manners. When I see a spade, I call it a spade.
I am glad to say that I have never seen a spade. It is obvious we do not live in the same social circle.
Shall I set the table for afternoon tea here as usual, miss?
Yes, as usual.
Are there many interesting walks near here, Miss Cardew?
Oh, yes, a great many. From the top of one of the hills, one can see 5 counties.
5 counties? I don't think I should like that. I hate crowds.
I suppose that is why you live in town.
This is quite a well-kept garden, Miss Cardew.
I'm glad you like it, Miss Fairfax.
I had no idea there were any flowers in the country.
Oh, flowers are as common here, Miss Fairfax, as people are in London.
Personally, I cannot imagine how anyone manages to live in the country. If anybody who is anybody does, the country always bores me to death.
Would you like some tea, Miss Fairfax?
Yes, thank you. Hateful girl, but I want some tea.
Sugar?
No, thank you. Sugar is not fashionable anymore.
Cake or bread and butter?
Bread and butter, please. Cake is not seen in the best houses nowadays.
Give that to Miss Fairfax.
You have filled my tea with lumps of sugar, and though I asked for bread and butter, you have given me cake. I am known to be sweet-tempered, but I warn you, Miss Cardew, you may go too far.
I would go any distance to save my poor, innocent, trusting boy from being trapped by a girl like you.
I have distrusted you from the moment I saw you. I felt you were false and deceitful. I am never wrong in such matters. My first impressions of people are always right.
It seems to me that I am keeping you from other appointments,
No doubt you have many other similar calls to make in the area.
Ernest! My own Ernest!
Gwendolyn, darling!
Wait a moment. May I ask if you are engaged to be married to this young lady?
To dear little Cicely? Of course not! What could have put such an idea into your pretty little head?
Thank you. You may kiss me.
I knew there must be some kind of misunderstanding, Miss Fairfax. The gentleman whose arm is at present around your waist is my guardian, Mr. Jack Worthing.
I beg your pardon?
This is Uncle Jack.
Jack? Oh!
Here is Ernest.
My own laugh.
Wait a moment. Ernest, may I ask you, are you engaged to be married to this young lady?
To what young lady? Good heavens. Gwendolyn. Of course not. What could have put such an idea into your pretty little head?
Thank you. You may kiss me.
I felt there was some slight error, Miss Cardew. The gentleman whose arm is at present around your waist is my cousin, Mr. Algernon Moncrief.
Algernon Moncrief? Oh! Are you called Algernon?
I cannot deny it.
Oh!
Is your name really Jack?
I could deny it if I liked. I could deny anything if I liked. But my name certainly is Jack. It has been Jack for years.
We have both been terribly deceived.
My poor wounded Cicely.
My poor wronged Gwendolyn.
Please, will you call me sister?
Oh.
There is just one question I would like to ask my guardian.
A very good idea. Mr. Worthing, there is just one question I would like permission to ask you. Where is your brother Ernest? We are both engaged to be married to your brother Ernest, so it is important for us to know where he is at present.
Gwendolyn, Cicely, it is very painful for me, but I must speak the truth. It is the first time in my life that I have been in such a painful position, and I am quite inexperienced at doing this. However, I will tell you honestly that I have no brother Ernest. I have no brother at all. I have never had a brother in my life, and I don't intend ever to have a brother in the future.
No brother at all?
None.
Did you ever have a brother of any kind?
Never. Not of any kind.
I am afraid, Cicely, that neither of us is engaged to be married to anyone.
It is not a very pleasant position for a young girl suddenly to find herself in, is it?
Let us go into the house. They will not follow us into the house, will they?
No. Men are so cowardly, aren't they?
I suppose that this awful business is what you call bunburying, is it?
Yes, and it's the best bunburying I have ever done in my life.
Well, you have no right to bunbury here.
That is absurd. One has a right to bunbury wherever one chooses. Every serious Bunburyist knows that.
What are you saying? Serious Bunburyist? Good heavens!
Well, one must be serious about something if one wants to enjoy one's life. I am serious about Bunburying. I have no idea what you are serious about. I suppose you are serious about everything.
Well, the only satisfaction I get from this awful business is that you won't be able to Bunbury any more. Your friend Bunbury is quite finished. You won't be able to run away from town to the country quite so often now, Algy. And that's a very good thing.
Your brother isn't very well, is he, Jack? Dead, in fact. You won't be able to run away to town from the country quite so often now. And that's a very good thing, too.
And you have behaved very badly towards Miss Cardew. I must say that deceiving a sweet, simple girl like Cicely is very wicked of you, to say nothing of the fact that she is my ward.
I must say that deceiving a brilliant, clever young lady like Miss Fairfax is very wicked of you, to say nothing of the fact
that she is my cousin.
I wanted to be engaged to Gwendolyn, that is all. I love her.
Well, I simply wanted to be engaged to Cicely. I adore her.
There is certainly no chance of you marrying Miss Cardew.
I don't think there is much chance of you marrying Miss Fairfax, Jack.
I can't understand how you can sit there calmly eating muffins when we are in this awful trouble. You seem to me to be perfectly heartless.
Well, I can't eat muffins in an agitated manner. The butter would probably get on my cuffs. One should always eat muffins calmly. It is the only way to eat them.
I think that it is perfectly heartless to be eating muffins at all in the circumstances.
When I am in trouble, eating is the only thing which makes me feel better. Indeed, when I am in very great trouble, I refuse everything except food and drink. At present, I am eating muffins because I am unhappy. Besides, I like muffins.
Well, that is no reason why you should eat them all.
Please, will you have tea cake instead? I don't like tea cake.
Good heavens! I think a man may eat his own muffins in his own garden.
But you just said that it was perfectly heartless to eat muffins.
I said it was perfectly heartless of you to eat muffins. That is very different.
Maybe, but the muffins are the same.
Algy, I wish you would go.
You can't ask me to go without giving me some dinner. I never go without my dinner. Besides, I have just arranged with Canon Chasuble to be baptized at 5:45. I am going to be baptized with the name of Ernest.
My dear fellow, no, you aren't. That is nonsense. I arranged with Canon Chasuble to be baptized myself at 5:30. I will, of course, take the name Ernest. Gwendolyn would want me to. We cannot both be baptized with the name Ernest. It's absurd. Besides, I have a right to be baptized if I like. There is no evidence that I have ever been baptized. I think it very likely that I never was, and so does Canon Chasuble. It is different for you. You have been baptized already.
Yes, but that was years ago.
Yes, but you have been baptized. That is the important thing.
Yes, indeed. So I know my health can bear it. I must say, I think that it is rather dangerous for you to be baptized now. It might make you very unwell. You can't have forgotten that a close relative very nearly died in Paris this week of a bad cold.
Yes, but you said yourself that a bad cold was not hereditary.
I know, it didn't used to be, but it probably is now. Science is always making wonderful improvements.
Oh, that is nonsense. You always talk nonsense.
Jack, muffins again. I wish you wouldn't. There are only 2 left. I told you I was particularly fond of muffins.
But I hate tea cake.
Then why on earth do you serve tea cake to your guests? I don't like your ideas of hospitality.
Algernon, I have already told you to go. I don't want you here. Why don't you go?
Because I haven't finished my tea yet. I have 1 muffin left.